The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Eamon Ryan is with me now, the leader of the Green Party and Minister for the Environment, Climate, Communications and Transport, a TD for Dublin Bay South, soon to be erstwhile leader of the Green Party, as announced earlier today. Minister, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Why did you decide to step down as leader of the party?
Two main reasons. First, I think it is time. I've been leader for 13 years and I've enjoyed every day of it. But there's real talent coming up and you want to give that space and or give them, pass the leadership to them. They'd be well able to do it. Secondly, I have commitments at home, and it really the reason I'm not going to stand in the next general election. And given that, I had to give whoever my successor is, not just as leader of the party, but also who will stand for us in Dublin Bay South. Like a lot of, I don't know how many TDs now have said that they won't be running in the next general election, but similar to them, I had to really make it clear what my intentions were. And I felt, I mean, I'm thinking about this for some months, obviously, but I thought after the local and European elections was the right time. This government still has a lot of work to do, so it'll give any new leader time to get their feet under the table. And but at the same time, we need to prepare. We need to select our candidate in Dublin Bay South. So that's why now.
So you mentioned in the press conference a little bit earlier in the speech you gave about the long hours that are required of being a politician, and you mentioned kind of home commitments there. Is that something that people just necessarily have to sacrifice for a career in politics, time at home, is it?
Well, I don't think you do. I mean, I think we have to be careful. We can't make politics an impossible profession. It is something that you have to commit to, but you have to be able to mix family with it. I have particular circumstances. We have a son who has special needs, and anyone with the similar circumstances will know one of the great things in our lives at home is we'll never stop parenting. But that's also tough because that takes time as well. And I've been happy. My wife and myself have managed it and worked it really well. But I just felt to continue to go full tilt the way you do, particularly if you're in government, particularly for leading a party, I just thought it was appropriate to make sure I also give time to my family as well.
When did you make the decision?
Well, probably actually a good while ago, in the sense that I knew, you know, my circumstances were very clear at home. So I was always going to be before this next election. And then the only consideration was, well, you know, do it before the local and Europeans or do it after. And I decided for a variety of reasons, do it after. And so most of a good few of my colleagues, I'd be careful in terms of, you know, not telling everyone because that would, you know, preempt questions. But I shared with my colleagues the kind of the intention, and we agreed the date kind of collectively.
Is it a relief now that it's out in the public?
Yeah, because, well, it's just you want to get it done in a way where you are in control of it and you're able to, you know, not being forced into making a statement. Mm. But and it's also, yeah, it's a personal sense of I'm very proud. I'm very proud of our party. I'm very proud of what we've been doing in government. And so in some ways, it's a chance to say, well, I've given it my all and we'll continue to the end of this government, do whatever I can. But to have a sense of, achievement in a way, that may sound strange to others. Mm. But for me, it's a personal sense of pride in our party and the work we've done.
What are you most proud of out of your career in politics, 30 odd years?
Well, I do think, I mean, where I got into politics because of concern about the ecological crisis we're in. And I do think, particularly in these last 4 years in government, we have fundamentally changed the course of the direction of the country in terms of how our transport system works, how our land use, how farming, how we our energy system. And I don't think those changes are going to be undone. I think we're only at the start of this change. And that's, I suppose, what I'm most proud of. The other thing I would say in our own party is it's a united party. We've got great, capable, talented people coming up, and building up that and having a party which is, as I said, lives to the original founding principles, addressing ecological crisis, bringing social transition at the same time, social justice at the same time, adhering to democratic constitutional systems, and last but not least, being peaceful or being respectful, you know, kind of how you treat people, how you treat opposition, how you treat government colleagues, just doing it in a way that adheres to that founding principle that, it's a respectful politics. It's one that listens, not just tells people what to do. And I think we have tried to do that in every turn.
And have you seen that evaporate in other corners of the political realm?
I see it more in, No, I'd say certainly in government. And I said outside the, when I was making my announcement today, I've always had the greatest courtesy shown to me by government colleagues and other opposition leaders. Irish politics is I think, has underlying decent principles and decent culture. So, I mean, obviously, you have differences of opinions and you fiercely contest sometimes some of the things that you're doing or seeking to do. But by and large, the real world is much better than what you think if you look to the online world.
Yeah.
The real world, not just in terms with other politicians, but with the public. I mean, it was really interesting. I've been around talking to all our candidates in the local elections. We had difficult local European elections. Like, we did very well in some places, but not as well as we would have liked. And if you would, I mean, one of the stories in the elections was, oh, there's a really toxic atmosphere now in Irish politics and Irish democracy. Actually, it's still really sound. The vast majority of times when you go to the door, it's a real civic engagement. And so that gives me hope for the future, that while you could think, you know, some of the polarizing aspects of online commentary is pulling us in one direction, there is still a core decency in Irish public political life. And I see it.
Do you think, and it's interesting you say that, Brendan Ogle was in with me yesterday, who ran in the European elections and actually made kind of very similar remarks. You know, he was surprised at how cordial and courteous people who he would absolutely disagree with. And he gave examples of telling people on the doorstep not to vote for him, which he says, I don't think is in the kind of political manual. Despite that, I mean, that polarisation, we have seen that in other jurisdictions start in the same way it started in Ireland and become a real world thing. Like, is there a danger that that happens here? Or culturally, are we just a different country?
We shouldn't be so cocky about ourselves that we don't make some of the mistakes. I mean, look at America. It's deeply divided now, polarised in politics. And even next door in the UK, you'd say similarly that their political system has divided. Maybe their voting system in both countries doesn't help in that regard. I think the antidote to it, I said this again in my few words outside the government buildings, is we do need strong media. You need sources of accurate, honest, independent, impartial information. That, I think, is one of the reasons, if you look at the UK, I think their media divides much more clearly politically. You know, when you're reading a certain newspaper, you know where that newspaper stands. Mm. That's less so in Irish media. And I think we need to protect that. And that, in turn, will make sure that democracy doesn't go down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theory or of just division for its own sake.
What was the most challenging time you encountered in your 30 years in politics?
Oh, I was involved in the financial crash very closely. I was working very closely with Brian Lennon, and that was beyond compare challenging. But actually, I think in the COVID times in this government, there were moments when you were talking life and death in decisions you were making, you know, in terms of it was uncertain, you know, these different, God, it seems so long ago now. But there were decisions in government in that time, and I think we made them collectively in a way that did work. But there were weekends, there were, I remember that time, Christmas 21, was it? When there was, what was the new wave?
The meaningful Christmas. Jesus. No, it was the following Christmas. The Delta wave from the UK.
I remember getting the I was talking to the UK
this
minister.
This is giving Grant, everyone PTSD, anyway.
Yeah. I was talking to Grant Shapps, the UK minister at the time. He was transport minister, and so I was chatting to him, and he was telling me, they've just found out about this wave, and it's coming, and it's really worrying. And times like that were, they were scary. But we worked our way through as a country.
And are you the type of person who, when you're making those decisions, and say there's a decision, maybe not in the context of the Delta wave, but as the wave begins to subside and there's pressure to relax some of the restrictions, and you know that on some level we've got to the point now where we have to relax them, but it will cost arguably some human life. You know what I mean? That there's a trade-off. And I know you probably don't think of it in that context, but at the same time, when you go home at night and you turn the lights off, you might think about it in that context.
You're influenced, I suppose, by those around you. And at that time, I was very influenced. I have four young children. Well, they were young children then. They're more young adults now. Or they were already in their late teens at that time. But you're very conscious of the impact on them of the restrictions, the fact that schools, colleges were closed, and they weren't having the social life, which is also part of your mental health. And I do think, and I remember at that time, there was real analysis showing some of those hard to discern and quantify, but very real mental health risks that were at play. So your job is a judgment call to try and balance that. I think this government has worked well. I think all three parties, the then three leaders, and since with Simon Harris coming in, you have an advantage in that sometimes even if you've contested views is the right decision, it's in contesting it, you come to a consensus decision and you kind of try and balance whatever the right call is. And as I said, I am proud in that period because I do think the COVID inquiry will come up with loads of things we could and should have done differently, and that's fine. But by and large, I thought we approached it in the right way.
What's the most frustrating thing about the political system?
Well, for us as a party, I mean, if you have regrets, what to regret? Like, under my watch, that kind of common narrative that, oh, we're anti-rural, you know, the green solutions are expensive, or you're not connected to the man of the street or woman of the street. Mm. And that's, for me, is something I regret because I don't think it's true. And I think it's hard to counteract because it's an easy kind of story. But
was that just a line of attack against you that proved to be successful, or was that reflective of your own failures that you didn't bring along the public to the degree now in hindsight you could have or should have?
I think, well, I would think this. we were never lived up to that depiction of not being interested in rural Ireland. I'm going right back to Trevor's leadership, John's, and even back before that. Like, we're completely connected to what needs to happen and is happening in rural Ireland. There are green shoots happening all over this country. So we didn't, but it was an easy attack on us. And yeah, that's one thing I do regret. How do you fight back on that? Because if you come back kind of all superior and kind of, I'll tell you, that almost feeds into the troop.
You're condescending to the trope.
So you got to start by listening. You got to start by asking people for help rather than telling them what to do. But it was an easy attack on us. And I'm not so much concerned about us in that regard. I'm more concerned about the change. Because ultimately, I'm absolutely convinced this switch green will save us money. It is actually, if you look at every aspect of it, and this switch green will also be good for the most disadvantaged in our country. I mean, if you think about it, I come from this background, maybe I particularly cite it, but, you know, the promotion of public transport, making it safe to walk and cycle, that helps the most disadvantaged in our country most. Or similarly, like what we're, even yesterday, look at the nature restoration law being agreed, it will help the most marginal farmers. It will create income that will give them a much better future. So we just have to explain that better, I think, and show real evidence of it.
Well, you're not done yet, so you're still Minister for Transport, and I didn't suspect there was anything kind of in your bailiwick today, and I'd appreciate you maybe unaware because it's just come through. Aer Lingus pilots are going to carry out indefinite work to rule starting on Wednesday, June the 26th, which is next Wednesday, so tomorrow week. The note was served by the pilots in the last few minutes. Your reaction as Minister for Transport?
Well, I hope it ends soon. It's not good for the country. We need connectivity, and we need, that would cause a lot of disruption. We have, again, compared to other countries, like we have very good industrial relations systems here. We meet as a government with the employers and the unions on a regular basis. We have very good labour court and workplace relations commissions institutions. I hope they can kick in quickly now so that strike ends soon.
Listen, before you go then, to bring us back around to a point you made about that connectivity with rural Ireland or a perception that it doesn't exist, would that suggest that the next leader maybe should be from outside Dublin? RTÉ reporting Catherine Martin's not going to seek the leadership role. My own Kilkenny people were very quick to suggest Malcolm Noonan would.
I'd be completely neutral on that. That's one of the traditions you have in a party is you let the members decide.
Eamon Ryan, Minister. Ryan, thank you very, very much for joining us on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.